Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you wherever you are. We have listeners all over the place. We have people in law enforcement who are riding in patrol, praying for your protection right now. We have grandmothers who are waiting in line to pick up their kids from school. We have people who are working, people who are working at home, preparing meals for their families. We have truck drivers. We have all kinds of listeners. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate you being here and listening in, because I know if you're listening, you are looking for hope for healthy families. And that is what we are going to deliver today. So it is a Monday. I don't know about you, but it's feeling like a Monday. And we are just a few days away from a very consequential presidential election in our country. I know that you are feeling the stress, the tension, the anxiety that comes with that. Maybe you have already early voted, maybe you haven't. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the election, and not from a political sense, but from a family health sense, because whether you realize it or not, this election is impacting your family dynamic. It is impacting your family health, because you are taking those worries, those stressors, all of those things that you're thinking about, and you're talking about those in your home. So my first question to you is going to be, are you praying about it as much as you are talking about it? Are you praying about it as much as you are worrying and fretting about it? Because it's very easy to change and transform those cares into prayers. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's so true. And as your heart is worried, just change that from an inner dialogue at what's going to happen and open up a conversation with God to say, God, I'm worried about this. God, I'm anxious about this. God, I'm feeling afraid about this. God, I'm feeling angry. And let the Lord speak to your heart. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I will say before we dive into this that our habit for this week that we will be talking about, and I'll talk about on Friday, is being forgiving. Now, I think that this is something that it's hard to do, but we can take lessons from today, because so many times talking about political issues, especially as the holidays are approaching, it can be easy to be angry, to have a conversation that causes offense. And we need to grant forgiveness and grace in many of those conversations, especially those happening with our families. So let's just dive in and talk about what this means. And stay tuned to the end, because we're going to give you a very important resource from the American Family Association that is going to help you be an informed voter. But let me share with you from some news releases about a Barna study that spotlighted and highlighted the election influence of Christian voters. So we know as this race is heating up and it is intensifying, new research from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, led by researcher George Barna. Now, we have had, let me pause here and say, we have had Dr. Barna on the show before, and I don't agree with Dr. Barna on everything. Actually, there's one point of contention that we really have, and I feel like I need to disclose that. He is a Yankees fan, and I'm a diehard Astros fan, but you know what? I have chosen to forgive him for that offense. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I am very, very grateful for Dr. Barna's research and for what he has shared with us. And his latest research indicates that millions, that's plural, millions of Christians are unlikely to vote. And this election season is marked by a significant drop in voter enthusiasm, particularly among Christian voters who have historically been key players in determining the outcome of the presidential races. Now, according to Dr. Barna's latest research, 51% of people who identify as people of faith are likely to vote this November. Now, this may seem like it doesn't make sense because we hear a lot of emotions around this presidential election, but those emotions don't automatically translate into votes or people or predictions of voting. So we know that only about half of people of faith are likely to vote. We also see from Dr. Barna's research that large numbers of Christian churches have distanced themselves from the election. They are not saying, we're not going to be involved. We're not going to encourage our congregants to vote or talk about these issues. We're just going to avoid it. And the Cultural Research Center, by the way, defines people of faith as anyone who identifies with a recognized religion. Now, that could be Christianity, that could be Judaism, Mormonism, Islam, other faiths. But while 66% of voting age adults identify as Christian, again, only half of those are expected to vote. So that means 104 million people who are planning to sit out in this election. 41 million of those who identify as born-again Christians and 32 million regular church-going Christians. Now, why? Why are Christians not voting? Well, the research pinpointed several reasons that Christians are stepping away and saying, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out. 68% just say, you know what, I'm not interested in politics. I'm not interested in the election. I don't want to be engaged in that. 57%, that's more than half, just say, you know what? I don't like any of the major candidates. I don't like anyone. 55% feel that none of the candidates reflect their most important views. And 52%, this is more than half, truly believe their vote will not make a difference. And 48%, a little less than half, think the election results will be manipulated. So why go out and vote? Now, our political system is certainly flawed. It always has been. So I want to take us back to some biblical perspective here before we start talking about the election and how we can steward and guide our families through that. Let's go back to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 8. And the people of God go to the prophet Samuel and they tell him, hey, we want a king. And Samuel says, and however he says this, you know, but my 21st century translation says, not a good idea. Don't do it. 0 out of 4 stars. Do not recommend, right? Said, don't do it. But the scripture said Samuel was really displeased about it and he prayed about it. But God told Samuel, give the people what they want, but with a clear warning of what was to come. He said things like, the king will take your sons to war. The king will put your daughters to work to enrich his kingdom. The king will tax the people. He will take their property. And in 1 Samuel 8, starting in verse 19, the people said this. This is straight out of scripture. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but there shall be a king over us that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And then we see the first king of Israel described. So going on in scripture, it says he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. And Samuel has an encounter with Saul, and Samuel tells Saul, you are going to be king. And he brings all of the tribes of Israel together. And when they start looking around for this man, the scripture says, but when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. This is what the people wanted, someone who looked good from the outside, someone who was tall, someone who looked strong, someone who was handsome, who would represent their country well. And we know that the Lord looks at the heart. And it talks about Saul, which I would love to go back in time and see this moment. It says, when he stood up among the people from hiding among the baggage, He was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward, and I'm sure waved around sheepishly saying, "Okay, it's me." Leaders have always been flawed because leaders are people. Earthly governments have always been flawed because they're led by people who are earthly people. But we are living right now in a place on earth, but we are living as a people with a heavenly mindset. And one of the greatest privileges that we have in this country today is the right to vote. People literally died to give us that right. And I believe we have a moral and ethical responsibility to exercise our right to vote and to steward that right to our family. My pastor gave us this scripture on Sunday from Jeremiah 29:7, and it says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And we are living in an earthly place with a heavenly mindset, and we are instructed to seek the welfare of the city. And we can do this by first — these are words of encouragement from my pastor I'm sharing with you — by first being people who hear and obey Jesus. We can engage in the ways we have legal rights to engage as salt and light in a world that feels pretty dark and pretty hopeless. And we can and should engage politically according to our convictions. We know that my pastor said it this way, God loves people, policies affect people, and voting affects policy. This is very similar to what I tell my policy students when I'm teaching, that nobody really cares about policy until you realize how close to home it hits. And somewhere right now, at this very moment, no matter what time you're listening, even if you're listening in the middle of the night, someone somewhere is working on a policy that will literally impact your everyday life. Now, that might be the city council in your hometown. It might be a legislator representing your district at your state capitol. It could be a staffer on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., that's literally working at this very moment to craft bill language. No one cares about policy until the impact is felt in a very personal way. And by that time, it's often too late to change it, or at least change it easily, or change it in the moment. And there are definitely issues today, policy issues, that are impacted by a Christian worldview. These are issues of marriage and sanctity of human life and gender and religious liberty and racism and all kinds of things that really do impact us. And so I have a question for you. Are election politics interfering with your family life? I want you to take a minute and really think about that, because unless you are living in a bubble, and if you're living in a bubble where politics isn't impacting your family, I would like to join you in that bubble maybe, but we are all impacted. We are having dinner time conversations. We have news going over the heads of our children. We have discussions at family gatherings. And it seems like ever since that infamous debate this summer between then incumbent candidate President Biden and his opponent, former President Trump, this summer, American life has been consumed by conflict surrounding presidential politics. We see it on the news. We see it in ads. I've been traveling all over the country, and every news station I turn on is bombarded with national election ads, with local election ads. And this election feels consequential. Some might even say cataclysmic. News media outlets are featuring pundits with apocalyptic warnings of what's going to happen if one party is elected. And social media doom scrolling, it sparks our outrage. We are angry over bold-faced untruths and political censorship and abuses of power, among many other existential threats to democracy, or so they're touted. The truth is that this election is interfering with our family health. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how and what you can do about it, and how you can influence your family for the good of your community and for the good of your state and for the good of our nation. Don't go away. I'll be right back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not.
Welcome back, friends. He won't fail. What a great message for us today when the world feels chaotic, when it feels like the rug can be ripped out from under us at any moment. The news cycle just seems to bring chaos and fear. That is a great message from Cody Carnes' firm foundation that we can trust in the foundation that we have in Christ. And this is one of the most important messages that we need to be sharing with our families during this election. Our children, no matter if they're toddlers or teens or grown adults, they do not need to see us anxious and afraid and with us as a people without hope. Of course, we have human emotions, but they need to see us continually turning that worry, that fear into prayer, into dependence on God, and demonstrating our unshakable faith that God is in control and that He cares deeply. We're talking today about the election and how it's impacting the health of our families. It's not good for our families to live in constant stress. And when our kids experience stress, I want you to imagine this little imaginary faucet that turns on in their brain and bathes their brains in a toxic bath of stress chemicals. It's really important for us to turn that faucet off. And we can do that but with simple things like giving them a hug, giving them some positive affirmation, praying with them, sharing a positive thought with them, sharing a scripture with them. All of those little things are what we do to turn off the faucet and in their brain and to have them promote resilience, to have them respond to stress in a positive way. We need to model healthy coping skills when we are feeling anxious, because the truth of the matter is, as I said before the break, this election is absolutely interfering with family health. And as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, as any member of a family, finding ourselves swept up in this current of fear, we feel desperate to impart truth to our children. We want to protect their Christian worldview. And younger generations are increasingly pessimistic about the future of our country. And many of them are avoiding politics altogether. While we stay glued to our screens, monitoring presidential politics, and we see ourselves We are aware, we are engaged, we are informed voters. Our children view us as angry and afraid, and they want to disengage. Leading with lecturing and posturing with political diatribes, it is burning bridges in our families, not building them. And that is really our goal, is to build a bridge to influence their worldview. I've shared this before, but I remember once having a very heated discussion with my husband in the car about politics. We were downright and rightfully, honestly, angry about an issue, but we were completely aligned in our views. We were aligned in our shared passion on the subject. But I heard silence in the back seat. That is always an ominous sign when you have four little kids, for sure. And I remember so vividly looking back over my shoulder and seeing, it was the stage where we had four car seats at one time. I really don't miss that, by the way. But I saw that some of them, they were very quiet. And one of them was even crying. And with very trembling voices, they asked, "Why are you and Daddy fighting?" My perception of that conversation was vastly different from their perception. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is think about the perception your children have of your political engagement. How do they see that? Do they see that in a healthy way? Or is it something that causes fear or resentment for them? Our children are watching and learning from our responses. They are listening to our words. They are watching the emotions on our faces. They are making note of our posture, of our gestures that we make, of sighing, of rolling our eyes, of scoffing. They see and note every one of these things. And children, no matter what age they are, they look to their parents and other trusted adults in their life for guidance, for security, for cues on how to shape their own response. And we have the privilege of stewarding the ability to guide them and to strengthen their faith, even in the middle of chaos, even in the middle of politics that seem very tumultuous and very antagonistic. So let me challenge you. Instead of giving them a visual of our worried faces magnetized and stuck to a screen with constant doom scrolling, I want you to really stop and think about what our families see when they see us sitting on the couch or wherever we are, looking with a worried face, scrolling through our phone or watching the news. I want to challenge you to change that vision, to see us turning trusted faces to heaven in prayer, searching faces turned to the pages of the truth of God's word, listening with our faces to their concerns about their future in a frightening world. I really do worry about this visual that kids have of our faces illuminated by screens that just have scary news scrolling through. Our kids need to see our faces in prayer, our faces in God's word, and our faces listening to their concerns about their future and what they have. So here are three things that you can do right now, today, in this very moment to help your family with election chaos. First of all, remember that God is in control. He is not pacing the floor of heaven. He is not wringing his hands saying, "Oh no, what's going to happen now?" He is all powerful, all present, and all knowing. Assure your family of your faith as you look to God for hope and peace. And we know that God appoints and allows leaders, and we know that those leaders are flawed, but we know that God is in control and that he cares for us. The second thing that you can do, pray for our country as much as you're worrying about it. Model to your children, to your family, trusting God in times of trouble, turning your cares into prayers. Praying reduces anger and aggression. This is science supported. So pray about it. It counteracts the flight or fright stage. and which is a lot of times what we feel when we see these presidential politics. And it also reduces feelings of fear and anxiety. So it is a very healthy, effective coping mechanism. The third thing that you can do is prepare for these family holiday times that are coming up by taking time every day until then to practice gratitude. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, instead of being anxious, in everything, not for everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this command comes with a promise that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Gratitude is the remedy for election interference in your family health. Gratitude is the remedy. It really will change your perspective. It will change your conversation. It will change your relationship building potential. And I am thankful that although we don't know what the future holds, we know we serve a God who holds the future. And no matter what happens, we can trust Him to be faithful to keep His promises. Now, when we look at Gen Z, we have a generation of voters who are going to vote in their very first presidential election. I have two children myself who are going to vote in their very first presidential election. And many of you have heard my daughter on the program before. She's in college. Her name is Shelby. And I want to share with you this open letter that she wrote to Gen Z. It says, "Dear Gen Z, your vote matters." Now, these are the words of my daughter. "While I can't speak for every member of my generation, the upcoming presidential election has certainly instilled some degree of fear and uncertainty in each of our hearts. For many of us, this is the first time we can vote for the commander in chief. However, caught in between the extremes of two candidates and their vastly different parties, many members of Gen Z feel apathetic about actually getting out to the polls. Either outcome seems uncertain and unfavorable, so what does it matter if we sit this one out," they say. "After all, it feels like the only way political campaigns are trying to reach us is through meme culture. As social media and the dinner table become increasingly inflated with conversations surrounding policy and inflation, our minds begin to cloud with worry about the future. What effects will this election have on our job market? How will we pay for our lives? What will the world even look like in 4 years? Dear Gen Z," including myself, and that's my daughter talking to herself, "even if you don't like it, your voice matters. You have a say in our future. As headlines and current events grow increasingly unprecedented, the word describing our entire lives thanks to the COVID-19 pandemic and Apple Vision Pro, realize the weight of your words and the value of your voice. Your impact can go far beyond the ballot box. During the tumultuous road to November, don't let the day's changing headlines steal your anchor. Voting is a privilege few individuals throughout history have had access to, and complacency is not a valid excuse to disregard democracy. Take the time to find an absentee ballot or change your voter registration if you attend college or live outside your hometown. Invite your roommates or peers to carpool with you to the polls and grab dinner afterward. November 5th is not the only day you are a citizen of the United States. Not everyone needs to be a political activist. Believe it or not, politics are not the only thing in life. But especially in this season of uncertainty, we all need to be informed, engaged, and active participants in our future. If not for those who will come after us, then at least for the grocery and gas prices we know are dipping into our savings account. Remember that people always underlie politics. Behind every political issue you oppose or support are real people with real stories, and you are going to encounter those you disagree with, but you can play a role in positive change by engaging in empathetic conversations. Ask open-ended, non-leading questions of your peers with a genuine motivation of knowing their hearts. Give space for others to share their life experience and their passion behind a certain political platform before casting judgment and delivering biting remarks. Humbly yet firmly Share what you believe and the causes for which you deeply care. And when we begin to see each other as people, not as parties, we remember we share this nation. Their future is our future too. Before you share that graphic on social media, take time to research its origins. Far too often, our well-intended peers share misinformation that only serves to further political divides, draw partisan lines, and give room for unhealthy debate. Remember the wildfire of rumors that Jimmy Carter died? Well, as of right now, today, when I'm doing this show, he's still alive. Directly visit political candidates' websites or videos of their words to understand their perspective on certain issues. Don't always rely on well-intentioned misinformation from X users or Instagram reels. The very real presence of artificial intelligence makes it all the more important to do your own research as you seek to share your beliefs and stand guard against internet schemes. Beware political rhetoric and intentionally select each word you say regarding politics, particularly the us versus them mentality. Who is the us you're referring to? Who does them refer to? When you say we, are you referring to we the people or we a particular selection of the people? That being said, social media can be a useful educational tool that connects us with our peers across the country. However, monitor its effects on your mental health. If an abundance of election headlines only seems to stoke your worry, take a break. Go outside, read a book, or take care of yourself with something fun and restful far from the realm of politics. You aren't missing out on anything if your screen time decreases. In fact, you're giving yourself more time to stop missing out on your actual life and enjoy the people and places around you. Above all, persevere with perspective. Even if it doesn't always seem like it, God is in control of November and beyond. He holds our future, and his plans are for his glory and our good. And we can respect whoever is elected while remembering we serve a God far greater than any earthly leader. If he is for us, who can be against us? My prayer for this generation is that we'd learn to speak and stand up for justice while also learning to sit with one another, seeking one another's hearts with empathy, compassion, and an abundance in love. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about where the next 4 years will take us, but I know who holds tomorrow. Eternity is in his hands. Pray for our nation. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for our leaders. Pray earnestly for peace, unity, and hearts turned to a loving God who longs for us to draw near to him. And I end with this benediction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the prayer of the Holy Spirit. God is in control. And friends, when we come back from this break, we're going to give you a very important resource from the American Family Association that will help you to vote your values and help you to encourage your kids who are voting age to do the same. Don't go away. We'll be right back and we'll talk about the iVoter Guide.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. That song is You've Already Won by Shane and Shane. And listen, I know that everyone is feeling anxious about who is going to win the election, whether that's the presidential election. You may be particularly concerned about a state race, about a House race, a Senate race, a school board race, a city council race, all kinds of elections that you may be feeling anxious about. But listen, before we go any further, let's remind ourselves that really the battle that really matters is the battle that Jesus has already won on the cross. And that's such a good reminder for us. We've been talking today about election stress and our responsibility as Christians to vote. And I know that a lot of you are feeling really stressed. To be honest, I'm feeling stressed too. And I just saw some research released just a few days ago from the University of Nebraska saying that about 61% of us are feeling stressed. And when we feel election stress, our physiologic stress response is a fight or flight response. Some of us, we just get mad. We want to fight. And some of us just say, I want out of here. I don't want anything to do with this. When can I turn on my TV again and not see election news? But a lot of us feel frozen because we can't escape it. We can't fast forward time. And here we are. Some interesting things in this research are that Democrats rated themselves more anxious than Republicans did. Younger voters ranked themselves more anxious than older voters. This is concerning to me because we know that younger voters already have increased baseline anxiety. And so this is going to exacerbate or make worse that fight or flight or freeze response. And there's some research that suggests, but is a little less clear, that girls may be a little more anxious about the election than boys. Now, what the professors recommended for election anxiety was to unplug, but they recognize that if you remove that offending stimulus, which is politics in the election, that might be good for you, but it's terrible for the community and for civic health. And so we need a way to have better civic discourse in a civil way. And I'm so excited because we have a great resource to help you do that. My guest right now for this segment is Debbie Woothnow. She is the president of iVoter Guide. You can find iVoter Guide at iVoterGuide.com. This is an incredible tool to help you be an informed voter, but I think it also will be great for talking about the issues in a measured and balanced way. So, Debbie, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. It's nice to be with you, Jessica.
Well, you and I talked during Share-a-thon, but I told you I was afraid that some of my listeners may have missed this during the happy chaos that is Share-a-thon. And so I wanted you to come back and share again. So just share with us, what is iVoter Guide?
Well, iVoter Guide is a tool that AFA now provides because we understand that elections matter to our families, to our to the economy, and just even to our personal budget. The people that we elect have a great impact on our life. And as it's a biblical stewardship responsibility to vote, but so many people lack information about which candidates share our biblical values or will fight to preserve our freedoms. So iVoter Guide researches the candidates on the ballot, really just from a data-driven perspective, looking at what candidates have done, not just what they say they're going to do, and give you, the voter, just research in what the candidate in each candidate. We make it really easy to find the candidates on your ballot and get information about them by going to iVoterGuide.com. You enter your voting address, and this works nationwide, all 50 states. You enter your voting address, and then you'll just see the candidates that are on your ballot. It'll list every race that we've covered, which starts at presidential, and then all your federal races. So if you've got a Senate seat or a U.S. congressional seat on your ballot, we will have those candidates in 37 states. We're covering the statewide candidates. In 32 states, we're covering state legislative candidates and even some school boards and some ballot measures. But it'll all be personalized for you. We'll give you, you know, just an indicator of what research we found on every candidate, and then we rate every candidate on a It looks like a gas gauge. It's like a political spectrum ranging from far left to verified conservative, but all the data is really there so that you can read through and look, you know, what is this candidate doing on the issues that are important to you? Maybe they answered our questionnaire and you can read what they answered about life or marriage or parental rights or religious liberty or, you know, the economy and the budget and things like that. Or you can see, we've gathered in one place links to their website and their social media so that you can go see what they've said about themselves. We've gathered who they've endorsed and even who they've given, who has supported their campaign with campaign finance donations or who they as individuals have supported. So we're gathering all of this intelligence into one place and just providing it to the voter so that you don't have to listen to those political ads. You can go look at the information for yourself, decide for yourself which candidate shares your values, your biblical values, and then walk prepared. You can even print it and take it with you into the polling place so that the goal is that every Christian votes wisely because it is a biblical stewardship responsibility. And so iVoter Guide is a tool to help you to do that.
Debbie, I really am so impressed by this. I cannot even imagine how much work went into this because I've used this. So I went to iVoterGuide.com. I put in my home address and just in a couple of seconds, my whole ballot came up. And I think sometimes what catches voters off guard, especially during an election year, Debbie, is that we're paying attention to the presidential race. Maybe even if there's a Senate race in your state, very high profile races. And you want to go and you want to vote for that. And then you get into the voting booth and, you know, I'm looking right here at my own ballot and you see Justice Supreme Court place one, or, you know, you have all of these, a constable or a presiding judge or a judge court of criminal appeals, all of these races that then all of a sudden you feel like, well, I was definitely prepared to vote for president or Senate, but wow, I had no idea all of these were here. So iVoter Guide is such a great way. Just like you described, it looks like a little gas gauge that tells you where they are on the political spectrum. And then depending on, you know, what they've submitted, they may have the scorecard, their contributions, the endorsements, the questionnaire, and you can click on this little candidate profile and look at it and see their profile and print it out. So what is the importance of those down ballot races, Debbie?
That is absolutely a hugely important, you know, as you said, people know what about the top of the ticket, but, you know, even some statewide races like the state Supreme Court or we live in Texas, the Ag Commissioner, the Railroad Commissioner, we don't know who to vote for. And a lot of times people will just skip it and they'll leave it blank. But those positions, they all have a reason and a purpose. Even Secretary of State, their job is ensuring election integrity. So every position has an important role, and we need to make sure that all of those people share our biblical values. But too many people leave that blank. In fact, we've learned that anywhere from 30 to 50% of ballots will have at least one race where they leave it blank. And that really is like, from a stewardship perspective, that's burying your talent. You're not making your voice heard. And I think that indicates a lack of information. They don't know who to vote for about that candidate. So that's, you know, why iVoter Guide exists. And, you know, as you even go further down the ballot, the state senator, the state representative, you know, most people can't even name who that is for them. But those people are impacting your life. They're impacting the legislation that goes on in your state. You know, those boys and girls bathroom things, those happen at the state level. They happen at the city council level. All of those races impact your family, and you need to be identifying the candidate that shares your biblical values and vote and not leaving a blank, not skipping it, but really making your voice heard. And the further down the ballot you go, the more valuable each vote is because fewer people are voting in those smaller districts as you go further down the ballot. So every vote has a more amplified impact on that race. And races are won by dozens, hundreds. There's mm-hmm. races that have been won by one vote. So every vote matters. You really need to be a good steward of every race on your ballot.
You know, Debbie, I've always been a little bit politically engaged. My pawpaw was the mayor of our small town. And I remember when I first started dating my husband, he went to his swearing-in ceremony and they were announcing the results. And it was like 62-34, something like that. And my husband looked at me and he said, "Wow, that's a pretty big percentage." I said, "Yes, it is. It's also actual vote tallies." Like, that was it. There were less than 100 people that voted in a town of several thousand.
Yep.
And so we see that lack of engagement. But you know, Debbie, honestly, I know I teach health policy on a college level. I'm pretty engaged. I feel like I'm pretty informed. I've been to the precinct conventions and everything. And one of the biggest problems is when you try to go find information on your county website or, you know, wherever you're supposed to find it, you don't even know where, right? A lot of times you don't know where to find it. You go and it's difficult to find what that ballot is going to look like. Some counties have a sample ballot, some don't, but this tool is such a great way to go and just, you can print it out, you can bring, and we should let our listeners know, just like you just said, Debbie, you can bring any materials that you want to with you into the voting booth to help inform your vote. You can bring a printout, you can look on your phone at the...
Some states you can't use a phone. Texas, you can't use a phone.
True.
But
true.
Know what the rule is in your state and then be prepared.
Right.
You can always bring a piece of paper.
You're right. Exactly. That's exactly what I was just about to say. On some states, but you and every state, you can bring a piece of paper. You can even write it down who you're going to vote for or however you want to do that. Debbie, I think this would be a great way for parents to have mock elections with their kids, too. Maybe they're not voting age, but wouldn't that be fun to have a family election using iVoter Guide?
I think that would be fabulous. And you know, another thing, we've actually been working on like a curriculum because you need to have those discussions with your kids on policies of why you vote the way you vote. And you can go look at some of the questions that we ask our candidates, maybe see how you and your kids would answer those questions to see how you feel on those positions.
Absolutely. I can just see that this would be a fun way to have a family election, and especially for kids who are elementary age, junior high, high school age, this would be a great way to practice civic engagement and to teach them how to find resources to vote. And so, you know, to go back, Debbie, I want to make sure that we're really clear. I didn't want to leave anything unclear for our listeners. You can always ask the people who are working at your polling place what the rules are for what you can bring there. So if you're not sure, if you can't find them online, you can ask when you get there. Well, what do you hope that people will get from using iVoter Guide, Debbie? What is your hope for this whole program?
My hope is that they feel empowered, because knowledge is power, to be good stewards of their vote, that it encourages them to vote in a full ballot, to share it with other people so that, you know, if it helps you, share it with your friends and your family across the nation, because iVoter Guide works in all 50 states. Everybody just enters their address. But I want it to be an encouragement and an empowerment for America, for we the people, to stand up and make our voices heard. And that really is my prayer. I know that God works through all of this, but he works through each of us as individuals, and we get the honor and the glory of doing that. And at a minimum, our stewardship responsibility as an American is to vote. And iVoter Guide equips you to do that with some confidence and some information.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We really appreciate your time. Again, you can go to iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com. And you can put in your address and download your own guide. See what elections are on the ballot in your, wherever you are, wherever you're living. You can see what that ballot will look like. And Debbie, thank you again so much for the work of you and your team. I know this definitely takes a village. And so thank you to everyone who contributed. We're very appreciative.
Well, it's an honor to do that. And I would just add that if people don't know where to go to vote, if you go to iVoterGuide.com and scroll down and click on your state, there's a link to find your polling place. So we really try to be a one-stop shop and give you everything you need to vote, because it's just really an important thing we do. Thank you, Jessica, for having me on and for promoting intelligent voting.
Thank you so much, Debbie. We appreciate it. And yes, go and vote. Early voting is already underway in some states. It will be underway very soon in others. But we know that Election Day is coming and we have the responsibility to vote. And remember, again, I know this can be such a tough thing to steward with your family. But know that we have the incredible opportunity to show to our family, to demonstrate our unshakable faith and a God who is always there, who sees, who knows, who cares, who is sovereign, and we can trust him no matter the outcome. I know that's easier said than done, but we can do it and we'll do it together. So in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, even as you're deciding who to vote for, when to vote. Please go out and vote. Exercise the freedom that came to you at such a great cost. And I'll see you here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.